Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for being with us this morning, God. Just open up our hearts now to your word. God, we pray, just, Lord, let go deep inside each one of us. Work and do, Lord God, as you intend to do in our lives this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. We want to grab a seat, and we're going to continue this morning the series that I'm kind of a little way into now on Nehemiah, and we're up to Nehemiah chapter 3 today, so today's going to be part 3 of that series, where there's the rebuilding of the walls. We're looking at the lessons that we learn from that, how sometimes things in life do break down, but how they can be rebuilt, how we can apply what it's teaching to our lives. In this series I called Rebuild, Repair, Restore and Recover. And today I want to talk about that in the context of community. And specifically what I want to speak about this morning is the community life within the church. Okay, I feel that there's some areas of community within the church that we need to rebuild and recover, that we need to build up, if you like. And for me, chapter 3 is a tremendous picture of community. Okay, what community? The community that God kind of intends us to have, what church life, if you like, should look like. Now, I was going to read the whole chapter 3, but because of the time this morning, and listen, you've just got to flow with what God wants to do, haven't you? You know, so because of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter through. God maybe save me from that, because it is a tremendous tongue twister of a chapter, okay? And there's every kind of crazy name you can possibly think of in this chapter, but I'm sure you'll take it on in your own time and read it. So I encourage you to do that. But what I'll do this morning, as we go now, is I'll highlight a few verses. There's 32 verses there. Really just encourage you, go away and read it. And hopefully then what I talk to you about, you'll see is true. Okay, so, but basically across chapter 3, there are some 30 households that are mentioned by family name. And there are people from many different places that are mentioned through chapter 3 of Nehemiah. Some from the city, you'll see there's some from Jericho, there's some from a place called Tekoa, there's others from the region of Gibeon and Meronoth. And as you read the chapter, you'll see there are people of all ages, different occupations, different positions in society. There's men and women mentioned in this chapter. There's fathers and daughters mentioned. And for me, that is something of what I believe the church community should look like, and part of what for me makes the church unique and beautiful. That different people from all ages, from different walks of life, from different cultures, ethnicities, backgrounds, come together in one place. Amen? Amen. That's my passion, that we would see that increase in our midst, and that we would become a growing family church. If you ask me what my passion is that we should build a growing family church that consists of people from all backgrounds or walks of life, ethnicity, culture, age, gender, that we want to build here at this church a growing family church. Can I hear amen to that this morning? Amen. Job done. And I love the sense in Nehemiah that there's a gathering for purpose. So in chapter 2 and verse 18, Nehemiah, as we read before, he casts a vision before the people. He casts a vision before them. And it says, the people replied, they replied, let who start building? Let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. I love the way the Message version puts it there. It says this, when Nehemiah cast the vision before them, they said, we're with you. We're with you. We're with you. Let's get started. They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. They came together to be a part of the work of God in that place. From every walk of life, background, etc., they came together in one place to be a part of the work of God. So the first thing I want to say to us this morning is this. Community is gathering together for purpose and sharing a common vision. Community is gathering together for purpose and sharing a common vision. These vast walls were rebuilt in 52 days. Okay, we'll touch on that a little bit more in a moment. But the catalyst that I want us to see for that, the catalyst for the success of what they achieved was a shared or common vision. The fulfillment of what came to pass in Nehemiah didn't rest on the shoulders of one or two people. What we see is that the community grasped a hold of the vision. They grabbed a hold of the vision and said, let us start rebuilding. We're in this with you. They owned the vision. They took responsibility for the vision. They stepped up to play their part in the vision. And the fulfillment of the vision wasn't just a Nehemiah thing. It became a community thing. Friends, I want to say to us this morning, I believe that God wants us to be a community who share the vision. I believe that God has plans and purposes here for us. Does anyone else believe that with me this morning? I believe that God has plans and purposes here for us. I believe that there are things that God wants to accomplish. I'm excited as we go into 2017, but I want us to understand this. A shared vision is a key to fulfilling what God is asking us to do. And in verse 1, you see that Nehemiah and Eliashib dedicated the work to God. If you got verse 1 there, it says, Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it or consecrated it or sanctified it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. Okay. The vision was ultimately this. They dedicated it to God because the vision at the heart of it was about this. We want to see God glorified. We want to see God glorified. And the first thing they did was to rebuild the sheep gate. The sheep gate was the sheep was the gate that they brought the sheep through into the city to take to the temple, the place of worship for sacrifice. See, friends, our priority vision must be that as a community, what we build here brings glory and worship to Jesus Christ. And it was about a vision dedicated to the glory of God. Jake has a nice kind of box of Lego about this big at home. And I say nice because actually it's quite annoying, isn't it, when it spills all over the carpet and gets everywhere. But it's good fun. And every now and then, Jake will want to build something with his box of Lego. And the box of Lego comes through, and he wants to build something with me or something with Claire. The first step before we do anything with this mass of bricks and bits and tires and whatnot that reside in this box, the very first thing we do before we embark on doing anything with all the bits are there, is we have to agree over the vision. We have to agree. What is it that we're going to build? What do we want to build? You see, if I set off building what I want to build and he sets off building what he wants to build and we don't have a common vision in mind, a kind of a shared end goal of what the final product is going to look like, we really aren't going to work very well together in harmony. We have to agree. Rather than having different ideas, we have to agree over what it is we want to accomplish. See, it's only when you share a vision you can work in harmony together. When the end goal is the same one that you have in mind, when the vision of what you want to see come to pass is a shared one, then it becomes possible to work in harmony with one another. And all through Nehemiah, there's this working in harmony because they shared a vision. So time and time again, you see the phrases like this one, next to him worked so-and-so, and next to them worked so-and-so. They worked in harmony. The people building the walls coordinating with the people building the gates. The people building the gates coordinating with the people who were building the walls that went around the gates. See, they were doing different jobs. They were playing different roles. They had different tasks assigned to them, but they saw it all as part of one bigger connected vision. At Christmas, Jake was given, I can't remember if it was his birthday or Christmas, he was given a Lego present, which was a lorry with a trailer on the back, you know, for various types of vehicles. And he wanted to build the lorry. And so he began with Claire, and Claire began with him, and then I got involved in this situation. And the first thing we do was we got the book. That's the vision. That is what we want to accomplish with this pile of bricks. And obviously, like I'm sure you have, if you've built Lego, you agree over that. Now, the three of us began building different parts. We had different roles. You know, I was maybe putting the wheels on. Jake was maybe building another bit. Claire was doing something else. We were playing a different part. But ultimately, we saw everything we was doing as being joined. And we knew that ultimately, the success of what we was doing was only going to be realized when it all came together. When we saw it as being joined. You see, friends, in church life, we are playing different roles and doing different things and different tasks. But ultimately, we must see what we are doing as connected to a bigger vision. And that ultimately, what I'm doing needs to join with what you're doing. And what you're doing needs to be joined with what they're doing. Because if they just built their section of the wall and never joined it with their brother who was building the next section, the thing would have fallen down. But it's when we are seeing what we are doing, hey, this is not about a bunch of independent ministries. This is about a group of people, a community with one vision to see God glorified, to see Jesus worshipped in King's Lynn. And that what I'm doing and what you're doing should be connected. By working next to each other for the common cause, they accomplished what no one individual could have ever have accomplished on their own. In 52 days, this vast kind of city that lay in ruins was rebuilt. But it was only possible to fulfill it by working together. Church, together we can achieve so much more for God's glory. Together we can achieve so much more for God's glory. And it's so important that as we move into 2017, we say, hey, I am part of a shared and common vision. And you might be sitting there saying, well, what is it? Well, let me tell you the things that I believe that we should be believing God for, the prophetic things that God has spoken over us as a church. I believe that we should be a growing family church where we've had prophetically spoken to us where the least of us would be 500. What that looks like, where that takes us, I don't know, but that's something that has been spoken over us. Is that something we're owning? Is that something we're sharing? Is that something we're believing for? I believe that not only just that, I believe that we should be a healing well. Prophetically, that has been spoken over us, that we would see signs and wonders and miracles, amen? That we would be a healing well. That we would be this Antioch hub, is another word, a resource center. That we're able to bless others by our resources. And that we would be a center for prayer and worship. That we would be a growing family church of at least of us as 500. That we would become a healing well, a resource center, and a center of praise and worship. I want to invite you as we head into 2017 to grab a hold of that vision. Lay a hold of that vision. Secondly, I believe that community is where we build together. In Nehemiah, all the people are involved in this project. Young and old, parents, children, men and women. You know, in verse 12, you know, Nehemiah, he pioneered equality a long time ago. Yeah, look, Shalom, son of Holosheth, ruler of half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. They were in there hands-on. They just weren't making the brew and the sandwiches. They were hands-on in the work of God. I believe that men and women should stand side by side in the work of God, see his kingdom advance. And there was all ages, all sexes, all backgrounds working together side by side. See, God's heart is that we build a community that is inclusive, not exclusive. We build a community that is inclusive, not exclusive. God has called us to build community, not cliques. Community, not cliques. Inclusive, not exclusive. Where our arms are open wide, where people feel welcomed and loved, when our homes are open and not closed to all. And right at the heart of the leaders in the story was that. They wanted everyone to be a part of things, to feel a part of things. And their heart and their passion was not to try and be a one-man show, not to try and do it on their own. You know, hey, I'm the gift ministry or whatever you want to, however you want to term it, I'll try and do all this on my own. The passion of the leaders was to inspire the community to rise up. To inspire the community to rise up. They believed what we now call in the New Testament, body ministry. Body ministry. See, the ministry of the church doesn't belong to one or two. It belongs to every one of us in the congregation. Can I say that again to you this morning? The ministry of the church does not belong to one or two. It belongs to every one of us in the congregation. Evangelism, teaching, counseling, healing, serving, helping the poor. It's not the ministry of one or two. It's the ministry of the body of Christ. Where we've gotten into trouble in the church in general is where we've made it all about just resting on the shoulders of one or two. Well, that's not my role, that's their role. That's not what I'm meant to be doing. And it all rests on one person. But what I'm appealing to us to see is this. Nehemiah could never have achieved on his own what was achieved. He'd never have achieved on his own what was achieved here if he'd have just tried to be a one-man show. Or Eliashib just said, hey, do you know what? I'm the high priest. I'm the man. You know what I mean? I don't need anyone else's help. The leaders grasped their role was to inspire the community to rise up. So you've got Nehemiah casting a vision, inviting people on board to play a part in fulfilling it. Then you've got Eliashib, and it's rising up. And I love what he does, because it says there in verse 1, Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests, it says they went to work and rebuilt. In verse 9, you've got a guy called Rephaiah, who's the ruler of half of the district of Jerusalem. And it says he repaired the next section. See, the community leaders understood this, that a major part of their role was to be an example to the community. They understood that actually, if I want to inspire people, I need to be an example. And so they didn't see it as beneath them to get their hands kind of stuck into what was going on, get their hands dirty, roll up their sleeves, if you like. They saw that they were examples before them. And so literally the work kicks off with the example of the high priest setting himself to getting involved in laying a few bricks and building a part of the wall. And the whole work is inspired as he gets stuck into what is going on. Next thing, as you're reading that, the men of Jericho are getting on board. Then Zakur, and then it's growing as more and more people are getting on board. You read it through, and there's gatekeepers and guards and soldiers, farmers, perfume makers, jewelists, pharmacists, merchants, temple servants, nobles, all starting to get on board and helping to build the walls, helping to build the community. Listen, be it in the church, be it in business, be it in the family home, the best and most influential way that you can lead is to be an example. If you want to see generosity, be an example of generosity. If you want your kids to walk with the Lord, show them what it is to walk with the Lord. Sure, there might be some bumpy patches, but stay in there and be an example. You know you want chairs stacking, friends, get in and stack some chairs. You want the tables clearing, get involved and clear some tables. Be an example to others that inspires people to get on board. You know, whether it's our children's ministry, our youth ministry, our elderly ministry, I encourage you, lead the way by being an example. And 35 times this word repair appears in the Hebrew. And that word repair, it has the idea of strengthening and encouraging. And for me, that's one of the major roles of what we should do in any form of leadership, is that we should seek to strengthen and encourage others. We should seek to strengthen and encourage the church to rise up and function like the body of Christ that God intends it to be. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through to 12 in the New Living Translation, it says this, now these are the gifts of Christ. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Okay, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to try and do everything on their own. To be a one-man show. No, their responsibility, read it with me, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. There's a responsibility upon us to help. That word equipping there carries that idea of strengthening and encouraging the community to rise up. And the community here in Nehemiah, they seem to grasp this sense, I've got a part to play. And goldsmiths and perfume makers are laying bricks. There's not a professional builder mentioned in any of the scripture there. People who aren't used to this types and demands of labor, you know, goldsmiths and perfume makers all of a sudden are lugging around bricks and helping to build what's going on. Waking up the next morning with aches and pains in places they didn't even know is possible to have aches and pains, but they're involved in what's going on. And yet they've got all the perfect excuse to say, I'm not trained in that. That's not what I do. That's not who I am. They've got all the perfect excuses not to get involved, yet they're jumping on board. Why? Because they grasped a hold of the vision. They knew what it was they wanted to see come to pass. You know, sometimes, love me or hate me, sometimes, and I'll say this next statement, we make so many excuses for why we can't get on board. And God's just saying, jump on board. Jump on board. Get involved. Someone once said the most important ability in doing God's work is availability. Yeah? I want God to use me. Then make yourself available. And in this story, there's these people, they're willing to do whatever's needed to be done, that God will be glorified. So in verse 14, you read of this guy called Malchijah, mentioned in verse 14, and it says, he repaired the dung gate. He repaired the dung gate. Now, Malchijah was the son of the ruler of a district. The Message version says he was the son of the mayor. Well, where does the son of a mayor work? He says, I'll tell you where I'll work. I'll work at the dung gate. Sign me up to work at the dung gate. In the Hebrew, it means the rubbish heap or the dung hill. It was the gate through which everyone went with all their rubbish to burn it and dump it. And the son of a mayor is saying, sign me up. I'll work at the dung gate. How many people know there would have been a few more volunteers for the job at the fountain gate than there probably was at the dung gate? What's my point? He was a man who just saw, I'm part of a bigger vision. And if there's things that need to be done, I'm willing to be involved in helping to get them done. Because I'm part of something bigger. You know, we need to focus. Yes, I understand we need to focus on area of gift. But you know what? There's some things in church life, friends, where we're just called to pitch in. Where we're just called to jump on board and get involved because we're part of a bigger vision. Number three, community is built on the efforts of its volunteers. And has the data projector gone down? Or is it there? No worries. Community is built on the efforts of its volunteers. So what we see is all this group of people freely giving up time and energy. Nehemiah really is a long list of volunteers. And I want to say this with sincerity before you this morning. I count myself very blessed to be supported by you as a church to do what I do. But let me say this with sincerity from my heart. We would be lost as a church if it wasn't for the efforts of the volunteers. The things that people freely give their time up to do, friends, is astounding. The hidden hours that go in that people do not see in the unseen jobs and areas of church life. You know, I stand behind a pulpit and you see me on a Sunday, but there's people who are doing so much more than that behind the scenes, throwing themselves. We'd be lost as a church if it wasn't for the efforts of the volunteers. And you know, I felt that I was to stand here this morning after what happened last Sunday and say this, thank you to everyone who voluntarily does jobs in this church for the glory of God, that he would be glorified and worshipped. And friends, I want to stand here with you this morning and thank everyone who gives their time. Will you join me this morning in thanking all our volunteers? But here's the good thing as well. The voluntary list is not closed up. I want to invite others to get on board. I want to invite others to come on board who say, oh, I want to know what needs doing. Volunteers were at the heart of the community and the fulfillment of the vision, and they still are today. No one went home with any money in their pocket for what they did. No one went home better off, because for me, true community is where we come together saying, hey, it's not just about what I can get, it's about what I can give. Number four, community is built on an understanding that I need you and you need me. And Nehemiah, as I said, is this illustration of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians, and you can read it in Romans as well, that we belong together, that we help each other, that we are one body made up of different parts, each with a role to play. Hannah, if it's live, can you bring that quote up for me? There it says this. It says, I read this quote and it's really good. It said, we learn from the New Testament there are two things that you cannot say any longer when you become a Christian. The first is, you do not need me. Everyone in the body of Christ needs everyone else. And the second thing is, I do not need you. You do need others. It is the awareness of that truth that makes a church a living, warm, vital, loving fellowship. And maybe sometimes you sit there and say, well, what significance have I got? What does my little part matter? What does my little role mean? Does it really matter if I'm at that meeting, if I go to pray? Is my attendance really all that? And you know, I know that sometimes when we come to bits in the Bible and we read long lists of names, you kind of sigh, don't you? Think, oh, might just flip over that one and jump in at the next section. In the next chapter, you read this long list of names in the Bible. But actually, I think there's real significance in the fact that in this passage, there's this long list of names. God recorded all their names. And I think the fact that God records their names shows to us what it means to him when people give themselves to a vision, when people volunteer, when people jump on board. That God takes the time to record every one of their names says to me, it touches him when people grab a hold of a vision and jump on board with a vision. But yet in the middle of it all, there's a sobering challenge that comes in verse 5 when it says the nobles of Tekoa, if that verse is there, the nobles of Tekoa, they didn't want to do it. The nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors or governors, as some versions say. So you've got God recording the list of all those people say, hey, I'm a part of this and I'm on board. And yet there's this sobering thought in the middle that God also notices those who don't step up, who don't really get on board, who aren't really willing to do what needs to be done. You know, it's something Paul said last week, that please love him as much when he gives you some medicine as when he gives you something that kind of cheers you up or makes you feel good. You know, friends, one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says that we will give an account for what we have and have not done. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Our sins are forgiven as Christians, but God looks at the things we have and have not done. Revelation 22 verse 12, look, I am coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. And there's all these different names and all these different jobs. They're not all doing the same thing. Some working on the walls, some doing the gates, some strong enough to carry heavy stones, others not so. Some strong enough to hang large gates, others doing other things, lighter work. But yet each one was important to the cause. No one seems to question their value to it. Nicky Gumbel said, different people were given different lengths of the walls to repair. But the key is not to compare, but simply get on with whatever God calls you to do. And this chapter to me says, whatever it is that God wants you to do, it's not lost on him. 2,500 years later, or however long roughly, we are still speaking about what they did. And in this passage, we see that everyone was needed and God valued what they'd done. Because by each person playing their part, they complemented the next one. And in doing so, what they built was one big continuous wall with no gaps. See, friends, if we step up and play our parts, we plug the gaps. We plug the gaps. And what you're doing, even if you think it seems small or immaterial, is plugging a gap, is playing a part, is helping to fulfill and complete a bigger vision. See, a body works at its best when every part is working as it should do, complementing each other, functioning together. A body that moves and works together. See, we're a team in God's eyes. The last 2 points I want to share with you are this. Community, number five, is built on a team mentality. I was reading the story this week of some Western missionaries, I'm nearly done, in a remote area of the Philippine Islands. It says this, after a while they set up a croquet game in the front yard. Several of their local neighbors became interested, and so the missionary explained the rules, gave each one a mallet and a ball, and got them going. As the game progressed, opportunity came for one of the players to take advantage of another by knocking that person's ball out of the court. The missionary explained the procedure, but his advice puzzled his new friend. Why would I want to knock his ball out of the court? He asked. So you will win, the missionary explained. The native, clad only in a loincloth, shook his head in bewilderment. In that hunting and gathering society, people survive not by competing, but by sharing equally in every activity. The game continued, but no one followed the missionary's advice. When a player successfully got through all the wickets, the game was not over for him. He went back and gave aid and advice to his fellow players. As the final player moved towards the last wicket, the game was still very much a team effort. Finally, when the last wicket was played, the whole group shouted happily, "We won! We won!" See, here's the point. For me, that's how the church should function. We're working together cooperatively, not competitively. We're helping and encouraging each other in the ministry, in the things that we're doing, and that whenever someone scores a point, it's a point for the whole team. Everyone in Nehemiah finished the task that they were given. Everyone. And we're called together to encourage each other to keep going until we have finished all that God, until we have fulfilled and finished all God has for us to do. And you know, lastly, just three verses I want to draw your attention to. And I want to show you this. It labors on the areas in which some people built. And it says this, adjoining this, Jediah, son of Haramath, made repairs opposite his house. Verse 23, beyond them, Benjamin and Hashab made repairs in front of their house. Azariah, son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs beside his house. And Nehemiah, verse 30, next to them, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his living quarter. The final point is really this. We don't just want to build community here. We want what we do to impact the communities in which we live. We don't just want to build community here. We want what we do to impact the community in which we live. That we seek to repair the wall in front of our houses. We want to build a community as a church that impacts our homes, our workplaces, our streets, the people at the school gate. We want to make a difference in the community in which God has placed us to live in order that God would be glorified and worshipped. And you know, if we've lost something or we need to build something, recover or restore something of community, friends, the way we're going to do it is by one, gathering for purpose and sharing the vision. Two, building together. Three, volunteering for the cause. Four, seeing our need of each other. Five, having a team mentality. And lastly, becoming a church community who impact the community in which we live. And friends, at the end of the day, it's all about seeing Jesus glorified and Jesus worshipped. Amen? Amen. So it's the beginning of 2017. Jump on board with a vision. Jump on board. Let's see God do some good stuff this year. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, folks. God bless you. Lord, I just commit this to you. God, I just pray that, God, the conversations you've had with us even during the course of this morning, God, the little things you put your finger on, the little things, the areas where we need to respond. God, I just pray, respond. I just pray, God, that we'll be obedient and faithful to follow through in response to the challenge that, God, you've laid before us this morning. God, I believe with all my heart that, God, if we pull together, we serve together, we rise up together, we move and function together, God, good things are going to take place. Father, thank you that together, we'll see far more happen that's going to glorify your name than on the efforts of one or two individuals. God, cause us this year to really discover the value of rising, moving, and sharing as a community the vision and all that you're calling us to, in Jesus' name. Amen.